Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi, and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. Now, some of you may know that I like to say that I have the perfect face for radio. Well, I've also got the perfect body for radio. And over the last couple of months, I've been trying to do something about it. I'm essentially a bit fat and a bit unfit, but I am getting better. A couple of months ago, I visited the What Bike HQ and chatted to the folks there. Now, here in my office, I have a Watt bike and I've been using it three times a week for the last couple of months or so. I'm really am feeling fitter and enjoying it. This has all been under the watchful eye of the Watt bike physiologist, Eddie Fletcher.
So you know where you are now, you've got the start point. You can do whatever fitness you do because you'll improve your Watt bike score if you do. Oh yeah, if you're a runner, you'll improve. If you have a breathing program, so you know where you are now, you can do a period of work. My recommendation is always a minimum of 12 weeks. You can retest and you can track the difference between the two tests.
He tested me at the start, and so in a while we'll be able to do the test again and see how I have improved. Now, the show will explore what CRF is, that's cardio respiratory fitness. Yes, cardio respiratory fitness, CRF, because we measured what mine was at the start, and we'll do that in the future. It's a very useful, important statistic. We'll talk a little bit more about what bike and who uses them, all that kind of stuff. And also, you can join me. You can join me in, during my exercise programs, if you wish, on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays at 12:30 on my YouTube channel. That is the Relax Back UK channel. I am doing the Health Beginner 2 plan. That's I'll get the exact name for you. The Health Beginner 2 training plan, and that's on the Watt Bike app. But you don't have to do that. You can just tune in on the YouTube channel and just join for a little pedal. It'll be nice to see you. So please do stay tuned because we're going to get on with the show. Hang around for a great one. Thank you.
This show is cool.
So when I was at the Watt Bike HQ talking to physiologist Eddie Fletcher, we started chatting about CRF. So that is cardio respiratory fitness. I kind of try and refer to it as CRF. I always manage to mangle it. But anyway, here we go. And we've spoken previously about CRF, cardio respiratory fitness, and measuring it on the Watt bike, and how really easy it is to measure it on the Watt bike compared with what's the old test or the other test that's used. I can't remember the gaseous test.
Oh, the gas analysis test. Yeah, it is a lot easier to do. And it's got that accuracy with it, as you saw.
Yeah. But the gas analysis test, can you just explain kind of what that is?
It would be the same. It would be the same test.
Right.
But you would have a mask on.
Right.
And they'd be measuring the levels of oxygen and carbon dioxide that are interchanging along the way. They're fairly uncomfortable at the best of times.
Yeah. And the machinery sounds like it's probably quite specialised.
It's very specialised. It's quite expensive.
Yeah.
You're talking about a gas analysis machine would be something between, for the cheapest ones, £10,000 up to about £50,000.
Okay.
Just for one gas analysis machine. So it's quite an expensive way of doing it. Mm. And you need the bikes that have got the protocols in them to be able to do it that way. Yeah. Okay. It is a completely different concept to the way we do it. But as we explained earlier on, it's been more and more used in that medical environment. And it's one of the areas that we've been involved in
Keen to explore that a little bit.
Well, we started, I've got to think back at the dates. When did I first go to South Africa? We started, well, I put the submax, we used to call it the health assessment test, now called health span. We put that in probably 2015, 16, something like that. Mm-hmm. And the first big adopters of that were in South Africa, Vitality. Discovery, the insurance company, because
right.
they wanted to have a test that people could do that could prove to the insurer that they were keeping themselves fit and healthy, mm-hmm. and reduce their medical costs, their medical insurance costs as well along the line. And it gave the client cheaper insurance,
right. Both
medical insurance and life insurance. And they started very early on as an early adopter, offering incentives. So if you could keep yourself fit and healthy and get a good score, and continue to keep that score as you get older, then you get free Apple Watches, for instance.
Okay.
So it's called the nudge factor. There's a whole realm of research around incentive and giving what's called the nudge factor.
But the main incentive is actually keeping yourself healthy.
It is.
Because there's no point having all these things if you're not.
No, there's not. There's not. And you wouldn't get the free Apple Watch if you had a score at a particular level.
Yeah.
So they have a particular level of score, which we've been doing since 2016, probably when we first adopted it.
Right. And does that actually help? Does it get a fitter, healthier population or workforce?
In terms of that their client population, yes. And as I said earlier on, they up until lockdown, they'd done 100,000 mm-hmm. of these health assessments in South Africa. Slightly different setup. It's not done in all the medical centres. It's done. They've got individual qualified people doing. They've got about 500-600. Of these are dotted around South Africa.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, very early adopters in the medical world.
And is it used in the medical world here as the UK?
In the private medical sector,
okay.
Yes. I think we've got a long way to go to get into the NHS. They've just published a document about, you know, prevention. We need to see what that entails. But the health service in the UK is under a lot of pressure anyway, as you know.
Of course.
You know, GPs will give you 10 minutes. And you can understand why.
Mm.
So trying to get them to adopt, say, doing these tests is difficult. But in the private medical world, we went into Bupa in 2017. Every Bupa clinic has got a Watt bike, and it's part and parcel of their 3-hour health assessment.
Okay.
For normal clients. Mm-hmm. It's the last thing they do. Providing the doctor says, yeah, they're fit enough to do this test, then the final bit of that 3-hour medical assessment is a Watt bike health span test.
Yeah, okay.
So they come out with the metrics that you saw.
The point about it is that the test is standard because the machine, the bike is standard, and if you do the test in a standard way, everyone's going to get the same results. So it's meaningful.
And they can compare, tests against, a retest. They get retests coming in. It's what you do with the information is always the key.
Of course.
What do you advise the client to do? And that's not as easy, but at least they've got a start point. They've got that CRF score, they've got their max heart rate estimate, they've got all their training zones set out on a Watt bike. So getting access to a Watt bike is pretty key for them. And fortunately, most of the gym chains around the UK have got Watt bikes in there, so they can do that.
Yeah.
But it's embedded in that medical test.
Certainly, the doctor telling you that you have to do a bit more exercise doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And that's part of the issue, isn't it? It's all right testing somebody. How do you get them to do more exercise? And we don't do this test. I mean, obviously, if we want to sell Watt bikes, but I use it sometimes for other sports, just to get them a benchmark or something and say, yeah, go out for walks every day
mm-hmm.
or do your little jog, whatever it might be. At least you've got some data they can work with and hopefully improve their health. But there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, no, very, very interesting. But certainly, if you are trying to get fitter, whatever that means for the individual and however you're doing it, having a way of measuring it can only help.
It can only help.
Yeah.
So you know where you are now. You've got the start point. You can do whatever fitness you do because you'll improve your Watt bike score if you're a runner. You'll improve if you have a running program. So you know where you are now, you can do a period of work, my recommendation is always a minimum of 12 weeks, you can retest, and you can track the difference between the two tests, and so on, so you can keep going on that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Thank you very much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
When I was at What Bike HQ, I also chatted with Head of Product, Andy McCorkle, and I'd noticed that they seem to have a couple of different sorts of bikes there, so I asked him about that.
Yeah, sure. So we have two main lines of product. We've got the air-braked bikes and we've got the electromagnet brake bikes. So the Air Pro that you were on was an air brake bike. That kind of harks back to the very first Watt bikes that were ever made. We worked with British Cycling to find something that would give them the range of power outputs that they wanted to achieve, but also have the response so you can go on, you can really smash it as a sprinter.
So they were kind of endurance work with elite cyclists in mind.
Absolutely, very closely with British Cycling, but they wanted something that wasn't just for their elite level, something they could go all the way down to talent identification in schools and do training, rehab work, all the way through to those kind of Olympic champions. And air-braked bikes are fantastic for that. You can't beat them, you can't get over the top of them. We can put...
Air-brake, what does that actually
mean? Air-brake. Using air as the resistance system.
So
when you're pedaling, you've got the fan in the turbine at the front of the bike, which is pushing against the air, and that's what gives you the resistance.
Okay.
Fan on the side allows more or less air to get in, and that allows you to adjust that resistance. That's brilliant. Like I say, you can put an Olympic champion, you can put a rugby player, someone like yourself, on it. You're never going to beat it. It's physics. The air's always there. You push against it, which is great. It is a little bit noisy. It's a little bit harder for us to control. And that model is designed for elite riders, but also for commercial use, where it's going to get a battering. It's built like a tank. Noise isn't as much of an issue. Controllability isn't as much of an issue. So we have an alternate line of bikes, which is our smart bikes or magnetically braked bikes, which can be adjusted digitally by apps, both the Wattbike app, but also third-party apps.
Okay. So it doesn't actually make any difference to, you know, the training, as it were. You know, you still got to pedal, it's still, you've got to work.
Still got to work. You've got a bit of a higher power output that you can achieve on the air bike than you can on our smart bikes.
Right.
So it's really, it's the use case. What are you looking to do with the bike? Are you looking to really replicate cycling? Do you want to use cycling simulation apps like Zwift, things like that? You can use all of our products to do that, but you get the best experience with the smart bikes.
Sure.
So for those kind of applications. For something like Zwift that wants to control the bike, replicate hills and climbs and things like that, smart bikes are kind of the way to go.
Right.
If you're a big rugby player and you're looking to, you know, really hit some high numbers, or you're going to be using it in a commercial situation, then something like the air bike is going to be better for you.
And I guess with more people using them at home, you know, because let's face it, not everyone is an elite rugby player or something. You know, most people are like me, you know, a bit fat and need to do a bit of exercise. So that maybe they'll do it at home. Can you use these things like on the first floor? You know, is it going to wreck my joists?
And I think a lot of the noise issue we overcome with the smart bike. So if you are going to use it at home, small environment, there are definitely advantages to the smart bikes having those. You're not going to ruin your joists or anything like that, but it's really a noise factor. So
okay.
If noise is an issue, then
so
the smart bikes,
heavy,
no, they're not that heavy. Not compared to your joists, I think they'll survive. And then we've got a couple of bikes within the smart bike range as well. So we've got a more cycling-focused bike in the Atom, and a bit more of a health and fitness focused bike, a little bit easier to adjust, a little bit more family friendly in the positions that you could get it into in the Proton bike.
Right, okay. It wasn't what I was going to ask you initially, but I was sitting here looking around the wall. There's kind of a history
of
timeline.
Bike. Yeah.
And there's some quite famous sort of names, or certainly some sports here. Just as a finish, maybe you could mention a couple of kind of your favourites. I quite like rugby. We got the All Blacks.
All Blacks, yeah. Well, we were very quickly picked up by rugby. We're thought of by some people as a very much a cycling brand. And we did sort of start our journey, especially with British Cycling, with the, I think still to this day, the only bike that has been endorsed by British Cycling. And we developed it with their kind of elite team. But we were very quickly picked up into other sports. So you'll see it's very heavily used in rugby. Every single one of the Premiership football teams use our product.
Am I going to see some famous elite athletes.
If you see this wall here is just full of elite athletes. Okay. And if you look at the variety of sports in the Olympics where gold medal winners have used our products, it's, yeah, I think 50 plus Olympic gold medalists at the last Olympics, and kind of the list goes on. So cycling is, while a core to where we came from and who we are, it's by no means a cycling specific product. It's used by elite athletes, by militaries, by health and fitness users and home users alike.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting, intriguing. Mm. All right, look, thank you very much, Andy, for taking the time to chat.
No problem.
So after chatting with Andy, I went back to speaking with Eddie Fletcher, the physiologist again, and I told him that I'd noticed that riding a watt bike really does feel like riding a regular bike, and I wanted to know if that was an important part of the design, an important part of their ethos.
My first impression is that sitting on the watt bike, it feels like a real bike. So, I mean, I have sat on other, I mean, not many, I must admit, exercise bikes, but is it kind of built differently? Because I have to say, it does feel like a real bike.
It is, and you were on the trainer, and if we took the side off, you'd see it's built like a bike.
Right.
There's a chainring in there and a sprocket in there, so it's got a basic gearing in there, and the force sensor's actually on the chain, so it's measuring that force that you're applying through those pedals onto the chain. But yes, I mean, it did take 2 years to get that feel right, that engineering bit in the early days. So it does feel like riding a bike, and that's the whole essence of the way it works.
So from that point of view, if I'm using it to sort of just to keep fit rather than become a better cyclist, you know, because I'm not a cyclist, why does that matter? Does it matter?
Oh, yes, it matters.
How come?
Because when we start, we set you up correctly. Mm-hmm. So we're setting you up to ride a bike in the correct way to get the right muscle activation and the right physiological effort out of you and all of that. There's a correct way and a wrong way to ride any bike, whether you're doing it for fitness or whether you're a cyclist.
Sure.
So it sets you up to do it in the right way and give you the right data as well.
Yeah, because I guess there's no point getting a lot fitter if you crock yourself and
can't
run.
And correct. I mean, if you've got the wrong setup, you can injure yourself fairly quickly.
Yeah. All right.
You know, you can get the hips rocking, you can hurt your knees, and they can be quite damaging. So getting that right setup and knowing how to manipulate the resistance levels and the RPMs, which the plans allow you, there for you, and to get the right pedaling technique, so you're using the legs in the right way. It's quite unique to the watt bike. Right. And it applies to everybody, whether you're an Olympic athlete or whether you just try to keep fit.
Or whether just like me, 59 and a bit fat and wanting to get a bit fitter. It feels like a bike. So obviously that's very useful for people that are training who are cyclists, you know, and they're trying to become better cyclists. But I get the impression that actually it's taken up by lots of other elite athletes. And in fact, one of the founder members was an elite rower.
Yes, two of them were. It's not specific to cycling anymore. You will find a lot of coaches still on that, you know, very specific knowledge, if you like. But in fact, you can cross train, if you like, on it.
Right.
You can do your off-feet conditioning on it with less injuries, and you can translate the data into performance in their sport as well.
Right.
And we've been doing that for a long, long time. So I work with a lot of rowers, rugby players, rugby clubs, and I can translate what they do on the bike onto what they do on the pitch or in the boat or whatever it might be.
Is that why it's so useful for elite athletes? Because you can take very precise measurements because of the mechanics of it all.
Absolutely,
can really see if people are improving, how much they're improving and all that.
Yeah, all the data's there. As you'll see when we do yours, we'll know exactly what you're doing on every session. Yeah. We'll be able to track the improvement, we'll be able to retest it and reset your training zones or whatever it might be. And you can do that for any sport, to be honest.
Okay. Well, actually, that comes nicely onto my next thought, because, you know, we've been talking about elite athletes and rowers and cyclists, rugby players, all this. You know, I'm not one of those guys, right? I'm 59 and I'm a bit fat. I'm probably a couple of stone overweight. So how is it relevant to someone like me? Because let's face it, most of us are like me. You know, we're not elite athletes.
No, but it's relevant to everybody because the way it's constructed, you can train your or exercise at your particular level. So there's a big difference between training and exercise. So you'll be exercising on this bike, yeah, but with the right metrics attached to it, the right bike setup, the right tracking process in place. And we know medically now that your cardiorespiratory fitness score across the whole population is really probably the elite measurement of how fit you will be, and you're less prone to some of the other diseases that go on, particularly the non-communicable diseases like type 2 diabetes, like heart disease, and so on and so forth. They're the things at your level that you need to concentrate on.
Yeah.
So if you can maintain your cardiorespiratory fitness score or even improve it, you're going to have a more active life. And with the rest of research, we know that if you can keep this up, you'll probably get not longer life, that's more genetic involved, but you'll get a more active, an active life. Yeah. So there's a longitudinal survey research paper over 46 years. And over that 46 years, people are more active for 5 extra years, as opposed to, you know, maybe, I don't know, if it's a 10-year where you're declining, there should be 5 years.
Okay.
So you get that prolonged active life, which is quite useful to have.
Yeah. Let's unpick that a little bit. You mentioned CRF, which is cardiorespiratory fitness.
Yeah.
Now, so that's a very good, as you said, a very good measure of how kind of fit you are and something that you should kind of strive to improve. But actually getting that figure can potentially involve exercise until you drop with masks on and God knows what in a very specialised environment.
Yeah.
Now, you guys offer something a little bit different and potentially a little bit more useful. Just kind of explain the relationship.
We do. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't do gas analysis, and lots of labs do them. But we wanted a way of doing it that was less invasive but had the great accuracy around it. Mm. So our algorithms behind that test result you got are built from science. There's no guesswork in there. It's from scientific research as to how that CRF, that cardiorespiratory fitness score, your VO2 max, your body's ability to transport oxygen, is calculated and what it does for your body as well.
Okay.
So you get... And it's one of those things that you can improve. There's certain things you can't improve. You can't be taller than you currently are. You can't have bigger lungs than you currently have. People think they can build their lungs, but they can't. You're born with
these
that.
These are
genetic.
Things given to you.
Yeah.
By whoever when you're born.
Yeah, so if you want to be a 6'8" heavyweight rower, you have to have 8-litre lungs when you were born, if you like, or that it would develop in that way. But your CRF score, your VO2 max, is partly genetic, but then can be improved.
Right.
It's one of those things that you can improve by quite a lot of figures. If you're at your max, and some of the elite athletes are, you're talking about squeezing out 1 or 2 or 3%. But as you know, yours came out at 10%, I know we'll get that to at 50 or 60% very easily by a combination of you losing the body mass, because it's per kilogram of body mass, and by training or exercising, because we're not going to train you as such, we're going to put you through an exercise program.
Yeah.
So it's not going to hurt you in any way, but it's going to improve you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can measure the CRF, and you can do that on the Watt bike because of the mechanics and because it's a precise piece of machinery.
Yeah, it is. So when we retest, we're doing the same thing as you've just done. So you're getting that repeatability of the test because of the accuracy of the data
and
we use.
Do you have statistics to show kind of the accuracy of doing the test as I did it, as opposed to doing it with a gas test with the mask on and all that, which actually is quite unpleasant to do.
It's quite unpleasant to do, yeah.
Do you have statistics to show that the two are actually comparable pretty much?
I do. I'm not sure whether some of the sports labs have them.
Right.
They're ingrained in the way they do it. I think I mentioned to you earlier on, I did 4 years of the Oxford University women's squad. We took them to John Radcliffe Hospital. We did ECTs, we did gas analysis, but we did it on the Watt bike with our algorithms coming out of it. We were within plus or minus 2% of the gas analysis, where the gas analysis was accurate, because there's lots of things happen with gas analysis.
There's a lot of variables, I can imagine.
A lot of variables, and particularly the tightness of the mass, the leakage they get, and so on. So you don't get that with our algorithms, because they're algorithms built from scientific papers, obviously. And they're comparable, they're repeatable, you can continue to do.
So it's a test that, you know, is relatively easy to do.
It is, yes.
And quick as well. You know, we did ours in 12 minutes.
I'm very personalised to you.
Yeah.
Because I fed in, you know, your date of birth, your body mass. We assessed your heart rates. We got that maximum minute power out of you. And we got the training zone. So it's very personalised to you, using all that background science and algorithms that we've built in.
Right. You explained to me a little bit sort of the different exercise programs, mm-hmm. and you pointed to one that you're going to put me through. Mm-hmm. Are there, if people get a Watt bike and, you know, they sign up and get the app and all that stuff, are there a load of different kind of exercise regimes they can do?
There are.
Because people do like that sort of thing.
There are. There are lots of, I hate to call them random, but there are lots of sessions that they can pick and choose depending on how they want to train or exercise. But there are lots of plans as well. So as you saw, there are five of these, those health exercise plans, from beginner one through to advanced, and then there's a maintenance plan. So once you've done a plan, you can keep maintaining that. We've also got over 100 sessions, 25-minute sessions, fitting 25. There's 100 sessions in that sequence that people can follow. So there are lots of different ways of doing it within the Watt bike, and lots of separate sessions that people can have a look at and do.
One thing that I know some people like, this isn't in my world at all, some people love leaderboards.
I know.
And they like to see their name somewhere near at the top, or try and get at the top. Does that kind of thing exist? Can people get involved in all that if they're so inclined?
We've got a few, haven't we, Tom?
Yes, there is a leaderboard. We do occasionally run competitions, but they are for a bit of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's about just engaging people, getting them to jump on a bike and start and do something. So we might do a 1K challenge or, you know, something like that. So there is a leaderboard.
Or a 6-second peak power is usually a good one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few things that people can use.
Right.
They're in development, to say the least. Yeah, they're very early days of these. Yes. Yeah.
No, that sounds great. Well, certainly, I've had really good fun here today. It's been very educational as well as fun. So, Eddie, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Thank you to everyone I spoke to at Watt Bike. Thank you to you for listening. Please do come along for a pedal on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 12:30. You can join me on my YouTube channel, which is Relax Back UK, and have a healthy week until next week.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.